just want to do a quick message. Look at somebody and tell them and say, now I have hope. The first day of the week, come Mary Magdalene early, and when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre to see the stone taken away from the sepulchre. As St. John's, the 20th chapter, the second verse, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre, and they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooped down and looking in, and saw the linen cloth lying, yet went he not in. Then come Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeing the linen cloth lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciples, which came first to the sepulchre, and saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciple went away again into their own home. Amen. Throughout Bibles, there were some great patriarchs that we look up to. You got Abraham, Isaac, David, and other disciples, or the other patriarch, Isaiah, Nehemiah. And one thing they all had in common, do anybody know what they all had in common? They all sinned and felt short of the glory of God. All of them messed up. In their beings, they messed up. They were great men. You had the father of faith. You had the son that was so obedient to his father that he laid down and let his father draw a knife to him, that he believed just as much as his daddy believed, that if he struck him, that God would resurrect him. You had a king that was more powerful, that he wrote most of the Psalms and wrote some beautiful psalms, that praise came out of his mouth so awesome, that God loved him and said that he was a man after his own heart. But it was something incredible about all of them. We have something in common with all of them. They all were sinners. What makes me upset with the church today is that the church today is based on two different type of people. It's the known sinners doing the known sins, the drugs, the alcohol, the abuse. And then there are the not-so-sinners, the little white lies, you know. I like to call it the white-collar crime sinners that felt that they really didn't need Jesus in order to make it to heaven. They're only here to help us, you know, us alcoholics and drug addicts and those that have problems with sexual things, those that was hoes on the street. See, them white-collar ones, they looking down on us because they feel like what we went through is more dreadful than what they gone through. And churches set up with more of these white-collar sinners, and that's why the church is losing its zest and its zeal and its power right now, because some folks feel that they beyond doing what we have to do in order to make it. They don't really need to praise God like we have to praise him, because we wasn't as bad a sinner as Mike Jones. Oh, no, not Mike Jones. I never took my wife's car and ran off. I didn't go do drugs and spend all my money and go off. I didn't do them type of things, Mike, so you worse than I am. No, I'm not your type, so I really don't want to hang out with you in church, because, see, I'm a different type of sinner, and it irritates me. It irritates me. Because it's the ones that's been down into the hog pen and was eating slop that come to realize that if I don't have Jesus, I can't make it. But them goody-goody tutu Christians that really don't need Jesus, they only need him when they need him. They only want him to come when they want him. When the bank account get low and they are in
four digits, they want to scream and holler for him to replenish. That you know them type. They you know the type of Christians, right? Yeah, how many of y'all seen them type, or how many of y'all are them type? But one thing I have come to understand, that if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, we all would be in the same place, doing the exact same thing. Ah, ooh, help me, Lord. We all be in hell. So that's one of the reasons why I don't talk about folks. Because I can't talk about you. That's right. That's what I'm talking about, baby. I love babies. And one thing that all the old patriarchs had had in common is, even at the different levels of sinners that they did and the sins that they did do, and to us, they never looked at them as being different levels. They looked at it as sin is sin, that all of them was looking for the great promise to redeem them. They all understood that none of them was going to heaven and have eternal life off of their works. Whether it was what David did or Abraham did, we both going to be in the same place waiting for the same promise, the promise of the great Messiah. Why was they looking for the promise of the great Messiah? Because they came to the conclusion that without him coming and redeeming them, they could not make it. So my understanding of what the salvation is truly about is simply this. I'm a sinner. And if God don't save me, I cannot be saved. I hate church, because church is making such a big to-do about a simple thing. Salvation is the easiest thing out there. It simply says this to me: Glenn, you're a drug addict. And if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you always will be a drug addict. He come for one purpose and one reason. It's to save people who was drug addicts and white-collar crime addicts. All of us has one thing in common. We need Jesus Christ's redemption power in our lives.
The crazy part about all of this is God deals with all of us when it comes to salvation differently. I wish y'all would have been here when I became saved. Woo! Y'all would have thought I was a demon took over this body. I never forget the movement that happened when I became saved. I was in a front pew of a church, and it threw me in the middle of the floor and made me spin around like a top. Y'all want to know why? I always come to the conclusion, I always ask God, why did you take me such a wild route? You know what God told me? Because you were so go about everything that I'm doing, I showed you who I was. I never forget a question I asked when I was in jail. I said, Lord, which way is the right way? There's so many different churches out there. One preaching one thing, one preaching another, always show me which is the right way. So when I was trying to go to another female's church, notice how I made that comment, because she was a female that I liked church, every time it was an opportunity to go to her church, something came up where I couldn't go to her church. So I went to my mama's church, because it wasn't my church, where I grew up at, but it wasn't my church. I didn't have a church. And I come to realize that I was going to the female's church because it was the female. But he sent me to my mother's church because it was my church, where I found out the truth about who he was and the fullness and the depth of what he wanted to do with me.
Salvation is so easy when we stop placing people in the midst of it. Salvation is a personal thing between you and God. But we always feel we have to have a compadre, a buddy, or a friend to go with us to become saved. I'm at the understanding that there is a movement with God that he's trying to achieve in every individual's lives in here, and that's to teach you about the resurrection hope that he has planned for you. I'm almost finished already. You have to understand the great calling comes when you're in your darkest hour. Some of us, it have to be darker than others. Because some of us is used to dark times. Some of us love roaming in the midnight hours. That darkness becomes a norm to us. Some of us love sin, but we hate the effects of sin in our lives. I can't lie to you. I can't lie to you. Some of us love doing the sinful acts, but the guilt afterwards tears us up on the inside. So where God deals with all of us on a salvation level different, where he may deal with me one way, he'll deal with you another. Here we are where he's dealing with three different individuals when it comes to knowing that he resurrected. He's dealing with the one, Mary Magdalene, who he caused seven demons to come out of her. That when he died, she was there. When he was buried, she was there. And when he rose, she was there. She didn't leave him because she couldn't. She was talked about. You didn't have to go through all of that to receive him, but she did. Then it was John the Beloved, who when it was told that he wasn't lying in the tomb, ran with Peter, but he outran Peter. I said, Lord, why did he outrun Peter? Because he wanted to get there first. You got these up in church. Oh, just want to get there first. Want to be the one that gets to salvation first. Now you got Peter who's been oppressed and depressed. The one that knew Jesus and who he was. These are the woes that brought up inside church. These are the ones that know about salvation but choose to ignore it. Hallelujah. So God let me know that there's different ways he deal with different people. And all of us are on different levels when we have the encounter with God. So I need to stop looking at you and look for hope in my situation. When all three of them was at the tomb at the same time, don't make a difference if you faster than I am to get there. When I get there, I'll get there. Hallelujah. One of the things I tell all men up in here, that females have the tendency over history and time, when you're dealing relationship, become saved before the male seed. It don't make a difference if you like Peter. It takes a little while to get there. Tell them to hold on. Let me take my time to get there. I can't run as fast as you to get there. More men don't run as fast as women do to become saved. Take your time, men. Find out about who he is. Find your niche and your glitch inside of him. They all arrived there at the same time. All of them looking for hope. All of them is expecting a change, but all of them do not see it at the calling. Some of y'all in here need to understand. Right now, you may not see salvation in your life, and that's okay. You may not can see yourself saved. That's okay. As Terrence and Mike, 2 years ago, they couldn't see themselves here with Pastor. But they're here now. It's okay.
Miss Berta couldn't see herself here because she was a feisty little, woo. But that's okay. She calmed down now, ain't she, Mike? Mike pray on his knees, thank God every day for her. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, in the darkest hours of the midnight before you see the resurrection of God, hope cannot be found. That's where faith has to stick and jump in. You have to know what you was taught, that he is the resurrection one, to be able to resurrect everything in your life. I'm a very unique pastor. And some of the people get upset with me because I don't call and bug you 100 million times when I don't see you. Because I'm a firm believer that you got to allow people enough rope to hang themselves. Y'all missed that. Y'all missed that. Lazarus, he could have easily came when he was sick. But he allowed him enough rope to die. Because God wants you at your darkest place in your life. So when he changed you, everybody sees the change. Some of y'all came in here today so burdened down that you couldn't even praise God and you wanted to praise him. I'm here to tell you, you're at the darkest time of your life right now. The biggest thing when to deal with hope is fear. Some of y'all don't know how you're going to make it tomorrow or the next day. Some of y'all don't know what you're going to do about the friends or the boyfriends that you have or the girlfriends that you have. Some of y'all don't know how you're going to live a lifestyle without the lifestyle that you're living right now. It's your day to make a, this is your day to choose which way or how you want to live. I need for every individual in here right now to assess their lives. This is very important. I need you to stop lying to yourself. It ain't good. Or that Ebonic pastor just really preaching today, ain't it? You don't have it together. You're not in control. You just can't eat one, take one, and do one. You are addicted to it. You are a liar. You are a horrible creature that's got demons battling inside of you 24/7 and putting on a mask like you got it going on. You are hurting and in pain. You waking up in the middle of the night and crying, don't know why. You're not happy. And it's so sad. Is that you're in the place where God is about to show himself and you're about ready to leave and go home. Those that have been through so much is like Mary Magdalene don't want to miss him if he do show up. The scripture says that when John, the disciple, and Peter walked in and they seen the linens lying, that and the napkin folded up in the corner by itself, they didn't see hope of his return. Jewish customs tells us that when a napkin is folded up, it's when the Jewish people would tell their servants that my meals were interrupted, but I'll be back to finish it. So if it was balled up and set on the plate, they can clean the table, I'm done. The scripture said there was a napkin folded up neatly in the corner, representing that he wasn't finished. Hallelujah. That there's still more to come. Hallelujah. And the sad part about it, some of y'all is missing the hope and leaving before he comes. But those that go through hell, they'll stay right there waiting for the glimmer of hope. Hallelujah. I'm not going nowhere. I recognize that I need these demons out of me. Which one are you going to be? One that think they know it all. One that's moving slow and miss God. Or one that's going to just stay there until God comes. The other two ran and went home. Missed the hope. Should have known the hope.
seen the hope and missed the hope. Some of y'all in here missed the hope this morning. What is hope, Pastor? Y'all ready? Hope is a feeling of expectation and desires for a certain thing that's about to happen. In other words, it's a feeling on the inside of me that caused me to expect a change or something is about to happen. When the Holy Spirit said in here this morning, if you did not experience that, you missed the hope. And you missed the hope because of you, not because of God. Preach with me, boy. Because you are too uppity and want to look and make fun on people who sees the hope. You want to talk about Mary Magdalene because she's not a disciple that sit there all night. When they came to her, I said, well, she's still there? Why is she still there? Why is she ain't going home? What is she looking for? What is she hoping for? She had nothing else except for hope. Some of y'all got too much going on in your life that I'm praying that God strip them, that you don't have anything else to hold on but to hope. Because without hope, you're not going to make it. Faith is the evidence of things. Hallelujah. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through the prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall magnify in my body, whether it be in my life or in my death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, if you don't have an expectation of hope that God can deliver you out of everything, and only in God that you may live, you have nothing. I'm fed up with us using everything as an excuse when the true problem is you're ashamed. What are you ashamed of? You're ashamed of either these things. You're ashamed of these things. Number one, you're ashamed of your shortcomings. You're ashamed of your sins and your past. You're ashamed to be honest with everybody, including yourself. And you're ashamed at the root that you done been. And some of y'all are ashamed of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you still know that you need him. How sad is that? It's to be ashamed to be a Christian, but every time you need something, you proclaim to be a Christian. Today, God had me to deliver this word to you. I told you I'm not going to be long because there's nothing to be long about. That he risen to give you hope, expectation of greatness to come. And it's only you that is the hindrance of you not receiving it. Some of y'all because you're too dignified. Some of y'all because you're oppressed about things that you did in the past. But today we all got to take the Mary Magdalene spirit that I'm not going to leave you, Lord, until you bless me. I'm not ashamed that I was a hoe that had seven demonic spirits upon me. I'm not ashamed of all that I went through to see you. But because when you came my way, you delivered me one time. Let me express to you the true meaning of confession, because I'm fed up with folks lying to you. Salvation is basically this. You got to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me express this to you. He always been your Lord and Savior. He always has been saving you. Do you think that night when you was drunk leaving the club that you woke up in the nick of time? Or do you believe that somebody saved you? Do you really think you had enough common sense to turn right when he told you, when something told you to turn right? Oh, something just told me. No! Oh, I'm smart. I got that job. No! All through your life, he has been your Lord and Savior. But you have never acknowledged who he was. He said, before you was formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. You think you were smart enough to orchestrate a comeback like you did? You think you were smart enough to be protected when everybody was looking for you? He caused confusion to be around you, and you never acknowledge who did it. In his book, you are already his, but you hurting him every day when you don't acknowledge that he has saved you many times and still saving you. You are hurting the man that's saving you. You causing the one that's there to help you to hurt. It's just like being a parent. When you're taking care of your kids and they give somebody else credit for what you've done. You can lie to me if you want to, parents. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts. Or they make a big deal about some two-bit and you've been there all your life, feeding them, clothing them, raising them. Then some joker comes in their lives and give them a couple of the things, and all you can hear out of their mouth, how good they are to you, how good they are to me. Oh, they treat me so good. Oh, and then that's the same way that we act. In salvation starts when you acknowledging that which he has already done. It starts there. Lord, I acknowledge that you always was my Lord and Savior. You always was protecting me and keeping me. I confess today that I come to the realization that without you, I would not be here right now. Second part is repenting. Once you acknowledge that he is, you got to go into his hands, into his arms. Lord, I repent for all that I've done, all that I did not acknowledge that it was you. This day, I accept you, and I'm going to follow you. That's true repentance. I would not follow another. And how do we say that openly? It's getting baptized in his holy name. That's why I don't get what folks is baptizing a kid, because you didn't do the first steps. How can you be baptized if you did not confess and acknowledge? When you're a three-year-old kid, you don't know anything. So you've been baptized when you're kids, you can come talk to me. You can get mad at me. I don't care. You ain't been baptized. You just took your first swim. And you got sprinkled. I don't know what to call that. Shower? No, bird bath. That'd be better, wouldn't it? Yeah. Hit the spots. What was that? What was that, salvation, just to hit the spots? Y'all don't act like, oh. Or some of y'all deep, profound folks act like you ain't never hit the spots. You know what hitting the spots is? You catch those spots that's precious and going about your business. Now, how many of y'all done hit the spots before? Raise your hand. So now you're going to take a baptism of a quickness? Hit the spot? Your baptism is not important to you that you're going to hit a spot? Now, you about ready to lay next to somebody you love and hug all of them. You want to make sure you're fresh and clean. You're going to take a long bath, ain't you? You're going to hit every spot there is, isn't it? Why? Because you want to make sure that you. Why don't you do the same thing for baptism inside the Holy Spirit? I mean, baptism in Jesus' name. Make sure. If you took a bath and got out of bath and walked down the hall and you still stunk, what are you going to do? I'm tired of deep people inside church that playing with folks' eternal life. Let me express this to you. You're playing, and where are you going to live the remaining of your life at? That's nothing to play with today. If you cannot jump up and say that you absolutely 100% know that you saved, you need to be at this altar today. And we need to talk about it. Hallelujah. There's nothing precious than to give your life fully over to the Lord today. I know I done brought out some new things to you. And some of y'all are questioning your salvation right now. Guess what? That's a good thing. So what we're going to do today, I'm not going to say that you saved. I'm not going to say that you unsaved.
Are we on the same page with this? What I want to do, I want to deal with those that want to make sure that everything is copacetic. You know, they always say, and anybody ever sent an important letter out? If any of y'all ever sent a letter out that was very important, what's the first thing you do before you send that letter out? Y'all do that? Y'all know what I do? I spell check it. I go let somebody else check that's smarter than me that I dot all of my I's and cross all of my T's, because I don't want to look like a fool and be embarrassed because I think that I wrote it right. Only a fool would send a letter out without spell checking it. Today, we calling this the spell check altar call. I just want to make sure, Leah, that my grammar is correct. I just want to make sure that I did spell receive, R-E-C-E-I-V-E, instead of R-E-C-I-E-V-E. Because I can't quite remember, there's an I before the E or the E before the I. See, I before E, except for after C. I didn't know that. Do that make me more stupid than you? No. Actually, makes me smarter, because I'm going to make sure it's done. I want to pray for those that are struggling with your salvation, that knows that you're saved, but you're not living the life that you want to live. Come. I want you to do me a favor. If you come, if you got a spouse, I want you to come with your ouch. I want all to stand, please, in honor of the Holy Spirit. Listen, please. As a songster come, I don't preach like this, hard like this, to hurt your feelings. I want to see all of us rejoice. Can y'all imagine? I want to give y'all this picture. Listen. There will be a gates in the cities. As the New Jerusalem comes to earth, that we be able to ascend from earth to heaven all the time. That we are lighted by the glory of God. I want y'all all to pay attention to what I'm saying for a minute. Outside of the heavenly city, there's a reason why there are gates. And the scriptures say, no man cometh in, nor do it goeth out of the gate. You will be able to watch everybody that did not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior being tormented and tortured. That's one of their tortures, is to see those that accept Jesus Christ living in a bountiful way. Let me express this to you. You're not going to be living on no cloud eating no Philadelphia cream cheese like you see on the commercials. It starts all over again. But we have eternal life to live a prosperous life in bodies without sin. This is just a preview of the coming attraction. It's all the good that you see here without the bad. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited right inside my spirit, because I know that my spirit man been there, and all I want to do is get back there. We'll be right back at where Adam and Eve was at the beginning, without the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil in it. They was living an awesome life.